Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. God, again, as we look into your word, I pray that you would bless. Father, please meet with us and speak to our hearts. Draw us closer to you. I pray, Father, that you continue to bless Bethel, Pastor James and his family and the membership. I pray, Father, that you would give direction, power, and strength. May this church be the lighthouse on a hill that the world can see. Father, our world needs lighthouses today that are shining bright. And I pray that this lighthouse would continue to shine bright for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank the Lord for the church. And thank God for how good he's been to the church. Pastor James was talking about our relationship with his family throughout the years. I seen Pastor James grow up hard-headed, thick-headed, hard-headed, thicker-headed, but all three of the boys, Rob, James, and Daniel, they were blessed to have, mom's still living, but blessed to have wonderful parents. Blessed to have wonderful parents. And his dad loved me like his son. And if you've had that type of relationship with somebody else, then you know what I'm talking about. He loved me like his son. And I was telling him yesterday, and you don't understand it, but I told him that his dad helped grow me up. I was him and his brother's coach for a lot of years. Wrestling coach and soccer coach. I coached them for a lot of years. Okay, and you know, when you're coaching, you know, the McDonald boys, their mind goes like 500 miles an hour and their body goes 2. yeah. But I was trying to explain to him that his father helped grow me as a coach because he was such a wonderful man and who put his trust as a dad. He put his trust in Coach Wright. And I respected that. And I cherished that. And he'll tell you I honored that. His dad, mom still loves me and my wife. And words cannot explain that type of relationship. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay? Love can't, I mean, words can't explain that relationship. And so what this next phase of this message is the same way. Love, words can't explain how good God is. It's almost going to be a letdown because God is so good to me. Amen. He is so good. And words can't describe it. Love beyond all comprehension isn't the love of Jesus. But his parents love me. I seen these guys on the soccer field, coaching on the soccer field. They were good. The wrestling mat, just solid. If one word I can describe Pastor James is, he was solid. He did not want to quit. Did not want to quit. And you take that characteristic in your life, here he is today. Praise the Lord for God using us. right? And I don't want this to sound funny, and I don't want it to sound belittling, because it's a testimony. We use them as a testimony. But look at what God can do. If anyone says, "Lord, here am I. Send me." I was listening to part of your sermon yesterday. Pastor James was letting me listen to part of your sermon yesterday. I didn't get to hear all of it, but I will listen. Okay, it was sounding good. But God can use anyone. God wants to use everyone. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing. The positive. I'm going to stop there, Pastor Jay, because I'm going to tell a story. You know, sometimes they didn't know when to stop, though, either. You know, run their mouths and, you know. Maybe I will say one thing. His dad came to my office one time. Dad came to my office one time. He said, "Mr. Wright." Now he's calling me Mr. Wright, right? There you go. Those bamboos, they got in a fight at the house. I don't want you to get them today. What else would he call you guys? Yeah, oh yeah, that's right. You can come in, Mr. Wright, those gorillas. I want you to get those gorillas. He would say that to me. I was looking at him and start laughing. Okay, Mr. McDowell, I'll get those gorillas.
Just
good relationship. It's hard to express how good God is, but God is good. We talked about what it costs to live for Christ. But you know what? God, in turn, says, "I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to give you a wonderful, wonderful life." And it's good to have a good church. Amen. It's good to have wonderful friends. It's good to have people that will pick you up when you're down. It's good that we can have someone that will come to us with the Bible and say, "If you're having struggles, this is the answer. If you want to follow God, this is the answer." And you know what God will do? He'll take you by the hand, and he'll lead you to the promised land. God will. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing. So we said it's going to cost us our pride. But you know what God allows us? God allows humility. When we humble ourselves, you know what God does? God forgives us for our sins. Matthew 18, verse 4. "Whosoever is like a child is the greatest in heaven." Humble we must be if to heaven we go. High is the roof there, but the gate is low. Isaiah 66, verse number 2. The Bible talks about having a contrite spirit. Isaiah 57, 15 talks about having a contrite heart. The feeling of repentance, the feeling of the fact that I'm sorry. I don't know who I was talking to, but someone was just saying, if we got what we deserve, if God gave us what we deserve, none of us would have any hope. But because we turn from our sin and we turn to our God, we can get on our hands and knees and we can say, "God, I'm sorry for my sins." And you know what God says he'll do? Thank you, Jesus. He says, "I'll forgive you for your sins. I'm so glad you're looking at a man who repented of his sins And you know what? I didn't do the work. God did. You know what he did? He said, I forgive you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad I gave in. I'm so glad I said, I need Jesus. And I'm so glad Jesus says, I forgive you. If you're living in sin, if there's sin in your life, you know what you can do? Have a contrite heart. Have a heart of saying, I'm sorry. And God will abundantly pardon. He will forgive you for your sins. That's where mercy comes in.
We want God to have mercy. And God will have mercy for our sins.
But sometimes we think that because I'm a Christian, or because of who I am, that God is going to have mercy. When you got saved, God showed you mercy. But if you're living in sin, you know what God still has to do? He still has to show you mercy. If you ask him for mercy. Are you with me? God is not going to bless me and bless my life as a Christian if I'm living in sin. But if I turn back and say, God, I'm sorry. You know what God does? He restored unto me the joy of my life. He restores unto me the joys of my salvation. And you know what? I get to click my heels and say, I get to walk with God. I get to live for God. I get to be a Christian. Amen. I get to be.
It's a wonderful thing to be right with God. We talked about giving up our pleasures. But you know what God gives us? God gives us health. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Turn with me. Look at these Bible verses. Proverbs chapter 3. God says, be not wise, verse number 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thy eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 25. Verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, only God can do that for us.
Instead of Moses saying, I'm going to enjoy the pleasure of sin, you know what Moses said? I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And it cost him. But you know what he was willing and wanting to do? He was willing as a child of God to say, it's worth it. Thank you, Lord. It's worth serving Christ. It's worth serving Christ.
I may not be able to enjoy the pleasures of sin.
But guess what I can do?
I can enjoy the pleasure of serving God. And that takes something. That takes something on our part. But guess what? We get to do that. And I believe God just looked out of heaven and said, look at my child. My child's in church. My child's being a witness for me. My child stopped sinning. And look at these people talking about my child. Oh, they're talking. Todd, you don't cuss anymore. Todd, you want to go to a party? We're going to a party. Nope. I'm not going to a party. We're not going to be drinking. Well, we're going to be drinking, but we'll have pop there, so you can just drink pop.
Nope.
I'm going to serve Christ. Your family's not going to like it. I know. People are going to talk about you. I know. But what did Moses do? Moses says, I'd rather stick with God's people than enjoy the pleasures of sin. For how long?
For a season. We get to serve God. We get to serve God. In Philippians chapter 4, turn there with me. Philippians chapter number 4. I want you to see what the Bible says. Philippians chapter number 4. Verse number 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And get this. And the peace of God, which passes all what? Understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. It's sad when you get up in years and you don't know the peace of God that passes all understanding. It's sad. But you're looking at a man that can testify that this passage of Scripture is true. Do I have any witnesses in here?
You do right. Don't understand it sometimes. Why you're making these decisions. But you want to do what God wants you to do. You're following Christ. And you're getting pressured all over. But you can walk with your head up. It hurts when your family's talking about you. It hurts when people at work are criticizing you. And I can't explain it. But you know what Jesus does for us? He gives you that peace that you're in the center of His will. And you just see God answering your prayers and working in your life, working in your family's life. Who would trade that? Who would trade that? Our family love my kids. Love them. Well, if there's things that our family was doing that we had to make a decision to say, we're not going to be a part of it. Am I by myself here? Am I? Because I want to be careful. But we had to make a decision. No, our kids aren't going to that activity. And they, okay. Why? You know what? It was hard. But when we laid our head on our pillow, we had a peace that passes all understanding.
And I'm not bragging. Well, I'm bragging on God. I will brag. But you look at them to... We are blessed. My kids are living. My kids love the Lord. We're blessed. Was it hard? Yes, but guess what God did? God came through. And God gave us that peace that we were doing the right thing. Was it easy? No. Did my father get mad at me? Yes. Did her mom get mad at me? Yes. Yes.
And I'm thankful they got mad, but they didn't take it out on the grandkids. Still love the grandkids. But God is good. And you know what? As a Christian, you can stand. You can stand. You know who's going to be standing right next to you? Jesus. Jesus. It may not seem like it, but you know who's standing next to you? I'm sorry, I like that. My wife is doing a lesson in church about the names of God. The names of God. I did one. I use Isaiah 9:6. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. I did Wonderful. His name is Wonderful. His name is Wonderful. You know what that simply means? Wow. Is, you know what God is to me? Wow. You know what He's done for me? Wow. 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 He just answered a prayer for us this week. I walked into the room where Sun Sue was and she was crying. You know what I said? Wow. I said, wow. Know what I said? But you don't know what I said. Guess what I said? Wow. Has he been a wow to you? Aren't you glad that God is wow? He's my God. And guess what He is to me? Guess what He does for me? I say, wow! I've heard Brother Unger get excited too. So don't be, I've seen him get excited. So everybody's looking at me like that. I've seen him do it too.
He's been good! We talk about the pride. God gives us humility. We talk about the pleasures. God gives us health. We talk about our position. We talk about a position. You know what God gives us? God gives us a home. We have a home. We have a home. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 27. Psalms chapter 27. Now, Pastor James, I didn't ask you what time we're going to be done today because I don't want you to say 12:15. Okay, there you go. That won't be long. Psalms 27. One thing, verse number 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. John 14:2, the Bible says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that what I am there for. Guess where we're going today? This world is not my home. I'm just a treasure. My treasures are laid up somewhere. The heavens, the angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Guess where we're going one day?
Guess where we're going one day?
I'm coming to some of your houses. I've seen you. I was in your church. Remember, I was in your church in Canada. Yeah, man. I like your mansion. This is a beautiful mansion. Boy, you got a beautiful mansion. Boy, this is beautiful. Mine's better, right?
Beautiful mansion.
Guess where we're going one day? I'm going home. Somebody said, don't cry for me. No, I want somebody to cry for me. Somebody, at least, I mean, don't cry, don't go crazy. But at least, you know, say, oh, I love you. I miss you. Say something like that.
Say something. I mean, don't just like, he's gone, yay. I'm going home one day. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 1, the Bible says, we have a house not made with hands, eternal, where? In the heavens. Amen. See, it's not all bad. I had to give up some stuff, but guess what? Guess what I get? I get a home in heaven not made with hands. I have to live today. I have to live today. But I know where I'm going. I don't like a lot of stuff that's happening in our world today. I don't like a lot of stuff that's happening. And there's so many different opinions, so many different sides, so many different angles. And I just simply say, what does God say? We always just look at the prism of what's happening in our world today through the prism of the Bible. What does God say? Because if we do what God says, I simply believe we'll be all right. I'm just became as a little child right there. I just became as a little child. Because I believe that if we do what God says, we're going to be all right. Because I have a home. I have a home. We talk about the possessions. Ephesians chapter 3. Turn there with me. Ephesians chapter 3. And verse number 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 18, the Bible speaks about there is a treasure where no rust nor thieves can break through and steal. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10, the Bible says, God will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot receive. Instead of saying, give me, give me, give me, you know what you say? Give. 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 And you know what God will do? God's keep. God'll keep. But the more we take, it's mine. God says, give. What can I do, Pastor? Take a tract, passing out tract. I want to give. You know what? I'm going to be where I'm supposed to be in church. I'm going to be at the nursing home. I'm going to be at the prison ministry. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to give. You know what God does?
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That was our family verse last year. And then we just did it again this one.
You know why? Because it's just good. It's just good. I mean, it's just good. It's just good. God gives. He does. God blesses. We talk about prosperity. God says there's happiness. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 27. One day we're going to be rewarded according to our works. We're going to be rewarded according to our works. We talk about the person God shows honor. The Bible says in Luke chapter 9, verse 24 through 25, you lose your life, you shall find it. If any man serve him, him will my Father honor. John 12, 26. We sing a song. It will be worth it all. When we what? When we see Jesus. It will be worth it all. When we see Jesus. Christ. That's right. It will be worth it all. Don't in this world that we're living in, look beyond. Look beyond the issues. Look beyond the problems. Look beyond what's going on. Look beyond and say, you know what? One day, I'm going to stand before Christ. And I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Huh? Titus chapter 2, and I'm done. Turn there with me. Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. Verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify us unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Isn't that a great end to this sermon? Isn't that a great end to this sermon? He died for you. Live for him. And don't be ashamed of it. And look what he says, the last five words, verse number 15. Let no man what? Despise thee. The world looks at us as, man, you guys can't. You guys don't. You guys won't. You know what the Bible says? When you hear that, let no man despise you. Pray that they get saved. And if they're not saved, pray that they get water. Because we're no better than them. But by the grace of God, we're saved. But pray that they turn to Christ. But don't say, because they're talking about you, don't say, okay, I'll go to the parties. I'll do, because I want to make peace. I want to make peace. You know what Jesus says? He says, let no man what? Because he said, let's look, I can't say it harder than this. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly where? In this present world. We should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. I'm preaching to myself. You're not looking at a saint.
And let no man despise thee. Well, they try. Don't let them. They do. Don't let them. Don't let them. Let no man despise thee. Thank you. You kids that played the violins today, thank you for that. Keep it up. That was wonderful. God uses that. God uses that. Let no man despise you. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. You know what God does?
Somebody's going to come to you. You think they're talking about you? You think they're upset at you? They make fun of you? And some of you have testified to this. Maybe at work, maybe in the neighborhood.
But they know you're different.
The world knows you're different. Somebody's going to come to you if you're living like a Christian. And they're going to say, hey, can I talk to you? I'm having a hard time. And you're going to be, what? This person is talking to me.
One more illustration. I just thought of this. Just to prove this point, or to show the point. Our neighbor, when we moved into our neighborhood, despised us, our family. Okay? I don't know if it's prejudice, I don't know what it was. Okay? We lived on a dead end road. Our house is the first, going down to the end of the road, and our name is Lauren, and then
Joe.
Could be cutting the grass, could be doing whatever. He'd drive by, we would wave, nothing. I mean, he saw us, we're only in the house. Nothing. Drive the other way, hey, nothing. Over and over, for a long time. One day I came home, and I looked at my house, and on the door, and next to the door, there were some mud piles on the door. Now, Lauren, our next door neighbor, very nice guy, him and his wife, they liked us, had a good relationship with them, but the ones down the road, and again, nobody came down the road, you know, it was a scary road, so people were scared to come down. We lived on one of those kind of roads.
We knew, right? Some said we knew exactly who did it.
I said, oh no. Oh, this ain't happening. So, I was upset. I said, nope, this ain't happening. I left. I went up the road to their house, knocked on the door. Sue came to the door.
Listen, there's some mud piles in my door, and I don't appreciate it. I'll be the very best neighbor I can be, but I'm not going to put up with that.
She... 10 minutes later, she came with her son, the little monster that did it. She came with her son with a bucket of water.
And they washed it off.
Right? That was going to fix the relationship.
Nope. They drove by, I didn't even wait. They went back the other way. I didn't wait. I'm mad at you people. You mad at a long man.
Joe got cancer. Long story short. I'll make it short. Joe got cancer.
Lauren told me that he had cancer, that he was in the hospital. Good. Okay. But that Holy Spirit, you know what I'm talking about? That Holy Spirit, he started messing with me. And you know what the Holy Spirit said? He sure did. I just didn't stand up here and say, that was the easiest thing in the world for me to do. I did not want to do it. The Holy Spirit said, go sin. Me and some sin went up there. You know, and the Holy Spirit was doing this. Okay, I'll just be honest. He was, that's what he was doing. He was, I wasn't like, I'm a good Christian. Here I am. I'm just doing what God wants me to do. No. No. He was dragging me. We walked into the room. And Joe looked at us and said, hi, Todd. Can you completely broke heaven? The relationship, he'll tell you, changed just like that. After that, they invited us into their house. When we came home, they invited us into their house. We told us how serious the cancer was. And we developed a relationship. And enough to be going to their house. Joe got sicker. Joe passed away.
Went to the door. It's Sue, his wife.
I said, hi, Sue. How are you? I'm sorry to hear about Joe. She said, Todd, can you preach his funeral? Who can do that? Can you preach his funeral? Of course, I said yes. And I did. And there was a lot of people there and had a good service. You know what I saw? Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven, justified forever. You know who did that? Jesus did. And then standing at that service, I'm saying, Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. And I preached a sermon at that funeral. It said, in loving memory. All over it. It said, in loving memory. And I preached a sermon in loving memory. Found out that Joe was saved. Joe's in heaven today.
Amen.
He's in heaven today. You know who can do that? God can. I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad I get to live for Christ. I have to do what everybody else has to do. I have to try to live my life. Whose way? God's way. Do what God wants. Need to do his will.